Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14 will be our focus through Christ and also through faith. The moment we are born, we are under a curse. The curse simply means that none of us will live forever. That is what this curse refers to in chapter 13. Another word to describe this curse is the word death. We will all die. This is the certainty, as certain as you and I are alive right now. All of us will one day die. This is the curse that had fallen upon mankind. When our first parent, Adam, sinned against God inside the Garden of Eden, the world at the time was perfect. There was no sin. But the moment he sinned, and as the representative man, all of creation fell with him. And that is why our world is in this sad state. The state and condition of our world with its earthquakes, cyclones, all forms of what we call the natural disasters, the tsunamis, the tornadoes, the cyclones, all these are evidence of the curse that God had afflicted us. The culprit is mankind. And there is absolutely nothing any one of us can do to alleviate this curse. Man thinks that man has the power to change the world's environment. They think that they can improve on it, and they blame it on our modern way of life. These experts in climate change and control were interviewed on BBC, and one of them said, "Restore the world back to the pre-industrial age, and then the world would be fine." You think that is the solution? To take away all the terrible storms and natural disasters that continue to afflict this world? These are all clear evidence of the curse that is upon us. It's our fault. And there is nothing you and I can do to change it unless you have a time machine and bring Adam and all of us back to the time before the fall. And that is an impossibility. This curse stands. This curse remains. Young and old, we all die. Anytime, any age. No guarantee. Some older, some younger. The oldest man, 969 years. You mean this body is so strong and so good that it can live 900 over years? Yes. That's how strong this body was. But God said that is not good for man. When I allow man in this body to live 900 over years, what did they do? What do you think a sinful man would do if you allow him to live 900 years? What do you think a murderer would do? What do you think a man like Mao Zedong would do if he were permitted to live 900 years? He will continue to reign till now. Just imagine what kind of world it would be when sinful despots, given a near absolute total power with the entire military behind him. Imagine the kind of damage that they could do, because God did not have to imagine. God witnessed what they did, and that's why he brought the flood to wash away everyone, give it a good clean wash, and start all over again with 8 souls inside the ark. That's what he did. And that was what happened. And so God said, I can't let man live that long anymore. And so God reduced the lifespan of man from 800-900 years to 80 years and 10, by tenfold. By reason of strength, add another 10 years, 80 years. But it is still a life of great pain and sorrow and suffering. And that's true. Even for believers, to live so long, you will be attending a lot of people's vigil services and funeral. And you're going to cry a lot, because very soon you'll find that you are the only lone survivor in your age group. The curse. It's all around us. The question is whether you want to recognize it or try using the ways and means of the world to delay it or even perhaps to undo it. Impossible. You can alleviate the curse by living in a life of comfort and delusion. Make it more comfortable. And that's what we have done with our industrial age. Try to alleviate the curse and make it less painful by inventing air condition. By building high-rise buildings with lifts, elevators, that will bring us into high, top-of-the-sky mansions so that we can have a good view of this world that God had cursed because of mankind. But at the end of it, whether you die miserably or you die comfortably, you still die. That's the curse. And there's nothing any one of us can make a difference. You take away this curse. Some of the Jews in the time of the Apostle Paul and Christ tried by obeying the law. And so they thought that if we were to obey the laws that God prescribed for us, maybe the curse will be lifted from me if I were to keep the law faithfully. Well, God said, from the curse of the law will not deliver you from the curse. The law only enhances the curse. It only tells us how deep the curse is. Thou shalt not kill. Have you killed? All of us have. Because the definition of that commandment is, if you are angry with a person without a righteous, just cause, you have killed. Born false witness, told lies. We all have. All of us can't even count the number of lies we have all told since we were very, very young. And the list will go on as you measure your life, my life, against the Ten Commandments. That's why it is called the curse of the law. The law doesn't take away the curse. It makes it even bigger, sharper, clearer, that we are all under a curse. Without the law, you may not think that you are under a curse, except the fact that you die. But with the law, you and I know for a fact that we are under a curse. From whom? From God. Not from the devil, not from any man, it's from God. Because we sin against Him. This judgment upon us, which is called death, did not come from the devil or come from any man. It comes from God, our Creator. He was the one who put an end to your life and my life the moment we are born. Why? Because we have sinned against Him. Our idolatry. We put Him into our own image. Image that we have made with our own hands. Gold, silver, stone. And now it is even more subtle. They are no longer made of wood and gold and silver and stone. They are made of human flesh. They're made of things that are non-tangible. When you and I put our jobs as more important than obeying God's word, it's the same as putting our jobs as more important than God. When God said, for example, keep the Lord's day holy, you still want to open your business and make some money. When God says, you trust me to provide all you need from Monday to Saturday and keep the Lord's day holy and spend it to remind yourself of who you are and be a spiritual blessing to yourself and to others in praise, in worship, in Christian fellowship, but we don't. And then we have our own flesh and blood that we consider as more important than Christ, than God. When it comes into a situation in our lives that we have to make a choice. Under most circumstances, when we are not forced to make a choice, we can't tell whether I love Christ more or I love that flesh and blood person more until it is time for me to make a choice. God never asked Abraham to offer Isaac until that moment in time. And so before that moment in time, Abraham will never know for sure whether he will love Christ more than his beloved son Isaac. As he was growing up since birth, Abraham would never know until that moment when God said, you offer him as a burnt offering. Now you must know this experience Do you love Christ more than you love Isaac? We live in an age and time where salvation is so hard to find. Because that's what Jesus told us. The last days are very perilous and momentous because Christianity will fall away. True, genuine Christianity equals true, genuine Christians are going to be very difficult to find. So are you and I truly born again? Are we truly Christians? Because that's how the Bible tells us to get us out of this curse. It has to be through Christ and through faith. No other way. Because left alone, this curse stands. We all will die in sin. That is the curse. And it's our fault entirely. And this is God's justice. Why did God do that to man? Well, because that's what God said to man. If you sin against me, you will surely die. And God will keep his word. That's why we all will surely die. That's the curse. And that's what the law points you and me to the reality of that curse. Our idolatry. A sin that is so commonly committed that we don't even bother about it anymore. We live in an age and time where the standard of Christianity, of salvation, is so low that even when we just simply live a little bit above this low standard, people will think that, oh, you are so holy. That is how sad the face of Christianity is. It is pockmarked by a lot of carnality. We have forgotten the clear teaching that anything that is not done in faith is sin. Do you realize that? Anything that is not done in faith is sin, including children of God. Whatever you and I do, even as children of God, when it is not done because of our faith and our trust in God, it is sin. When it is not done according to the Bible, it is sin, plain and simple. In whose sight? God's sight. That's how deadly the curse is. We pick and choose. We are still in this period of the judges where we still want to do what is right in our own eyes. Whatever that is not convenient, we will find excuses to break God's word and God's law and disobey. And we will try to psychoanalyze ourselves and cut off our own conscience, which the Bible called it searing our own conscience, so that we don't ever feel bad anymore after we have broken God's commandments and God's teachings and God's statutes and judgments. And that is why the Bible tells us through Christ and through faith, we get out of this curse. Are we out of the curse yet? Because that's the only way. Christ has redeemed us. Paul included himself, us, because Paul himself experienced this redemption, this deliverance. Because the word redeem is a very accurate word to describe it. Paid in full. Ransom. Buy us out. That's what this word means, redeem. All of us have been redeemed by Christ. How did he do it? Well, he paid God some money, did he? Did he pay God some money? How much? How much do you think you and I are worth? You, me, one person. How much do you think you are worth for God to take from Christ in terms of dollars and cents? You and I put a price on our souls, do we not? We put a price tag on it. How much money do you have in your bank account? 10 million? Let's say you are the richest man on earth. $50 billion, $100 billion, whatever the amount. You spend your whole life making that amount of money. So what is the price that you put on your soul? $100 billion? And then you die in your sin, and then you end up in hell. You spend your entire life accumulating that amount of money called billions of dollars. And that's the price that you put on your own soul. I don't think any of us is going to make $100 billion in our lifetime. But you wake up every morning, you work hard, you spend your sweat and tears and energy trying to make money. You are basically trying to redeem your own life, your own soul. Get out of the curse. And the price tag is pretty cheap. Christ redeemed us with his own life. That's the only price that God would accept for your sins and for my sins the life of another perfect human being. And he was the only one who qualified. And Jesus Christ did it. That's how he redeemed us. He lived on earth among sinners whom he knew one day will crucify him. He brought into his fold a disciple, part of one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, whom he knew that at the end of his life, he will betray him. He did all these things, not because you and I deserve it. You and I are in a curse. We sin against God. Our lives are filled with idols. We are prepared to disobey Christ and disobey his word because of somebody else in our lives. And Jesus says, in spite of all these things that I see, the ugliness, the evil, the wickedness, the undeserving sinners, Jesus says, I still want to come down because I love them. Even though all of us smell and stink full of sin, he did it. He came. And then he came to obey all of God's law. He did not die to save us and put us back on earth. He died to save us out of hell and put us into heaven. He brought for us, he gained for us more than what the first Adam lost. The first Adam only lost our place in the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ gained for us a place in not the Garden of Eden, but the heavenly realm itself. The presence of God Almighty in heaven. He gained for us more than what the first Adam lost by his life in obedience to all of God's law. And then at the end of his life of 33 and a half years, he allowed this Judas Iscariot to betray him, even though he already prophesied it had been better for this man not to be born. You think he did not know? He knew. Then why did he not deliver himself? Because if he had delivered himself, you and I would still be in the curse. We can't get out of the curse. Then he cannot be declared as having redeemed us. In order for him to redeem us, he had to pay for it with his own life. The Son of God and the Son of Man, he had to die. He had to be humiliated because we have sinned against God and he had to endure all that for you and for me. Please realize that. We can never comprehend that fully. Impossible. How can we understand and comprehend fully all that the Lord had to go through? Because at any moment of the terrible, terrible humiliation, he could have delivered himself because he was righteous. He was without sin. He was perfect and he was God. But he just simply stood there as a lamb without making a sound because that's how lambs died. You ever killed, ever seen a lamb being killed? I saw a lamb being killed. The farmer just slit his throat as the lamb just looked up. And then he just simply collapsed. His weak knees just simply could not hold his tiny little body weight. And just lie there with his head just looking up, not a sound. And then just before he died, a little twitch and that's it. As the blood just flowed out of him. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. They put a hood over his head and then they punch him. Tell us, you're a prophet. Tell us, guess who punched you? He stood there and let them abuse him. They spat on him. They put on him a royal robe and then they mock him by weaving a crown of thorns and force it down his head. Well, all kings must wear the crown. Well, let us make you a crown of thorns. And those were not small little sharp little thing like a rose plant. Those were long needles. And he endured all of them, standing there in shame, spat upon, punched, laughed at, mocked at, and then they whip him, and the whip was deliberately attached with a lot of sharp bones in order to rip his flesh apart to expose the back of his ribcage and his bones. And he stood there not making a sound when at any time he should have and could have delivered himself, but he did not do anything because that's the only way to redeem us from the curse. Only way. And he did it. And finally, they crucified him. They nailed him onto the cross. And we all know that it was not the nail that kept him on the cross because he was still alive. And during those moments when he was alive, the few hours before he died, he could still have delivered himself. But he did not. He did not. And he allowed himself to hang there. And then he died. It was his love that kept him all the way on the cross. Not the nails. His love for you and for me. That's how Christ redeemed us from the curse. No way out but through Christ. Because he was made a curse for us, for you and for me. Now this is what it means to be out of the curse through Christ. Only way. Only way. And if this is the Christ that you have accepted, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day after he died, because that was God's way to tell you and me, to tell the whole world, that it is enough. The payment was made in full to me, God says. To me. But if you reject him, you do not want him, you do not identify yourself with him, then you are still under a curse. That's why it is through faith. All you need is to believe. That's it. Just simply believe. Believe means you identify yourself with Christ. 2,000 years ago, this Lord Jesus Christ died for me. Just as Abraham 2,000 years back, he looked forward to what Christ will do for him. And he was declared righteous. All of them are saved by Christ, by identifying themselves with Christ. Even though he died 2,000 years ago from our perspective, even though he will die 2,000 years later from Abraham's perspective, it is still through Christ. That's why it's through Christ and faith. Just believe with all your heart. You can't buy it, you can't pay for it, you can't do good works to earn it. It's just simply by believing. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. As simple as that. And your life will be changed forever. Your life will be changed in a way that you know in your heart, in your soul, in your brain, in your whole being, that it is a different life that you live. A life whereby the Word of God means everything to you. You will do whatever it takes and you'll pay whatever cost, whatever price that is demanded of you to obey God's Word. And you will love Christ with all your heart, soul, strength and mind above everyone else. And you will obey His Word regardless. The clearest evidence of a person who has been taken out of the curse. You and I are not a Christian because we say we are one. We are Christians because God says you are. And what did God say? Remember Matthew 7:21, the closing verses of the Lord's great perfect sermon on the Mount? The one who will enter into the kingdom of heaven is the one who will do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And where is the will of God the Father who is in heaven found on earth? The Bible. The Bible. So how do you know you have been lifted out of the curse? What is your attitude toward God's Word? Do you understand first God's Word? If you don't understand God's Word, we're not talking about a verse here, a verse there that are difficult to understand, but you still can understand it after many hours of searching and studying. But we're talking about simply understanding God's Word. If you can't understand God's Word, first, you are not born again. Now, if you understand God's Word, the Word is not just simply for your mental exercise. You have to translate that into obedience where your life is changed and transformed by it. Whereby you do whatever the Word of God says that you have understood. You understand 1%, that 1% is now obeyed in your life perfectly. 2%, you obey that 2%. 5%, you obey that 5%, and the percentage should increase with every year you are a Christian. Will there ever come a point in time where you're going to understand 100% of the Bible? Impossibility. Impossible. No one can. Not even the great apostle Paul, because he was still in prison in prison when he wrote to the Christians in Philippi. I counted my life as dung, and I continue to count them as dung every day in order for me to pursue after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And he wrote so many New Testament books of the Bible, and yet he said, I'm still pursuing after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So you will never stop studying the Bible. You'll never, never despise studying the Bible. You will love it because you know that every time you open the Scriptures and you read the Bible, you hear the voice of your loving Heavenly Father Because you know the curse has been taken away from you, and you are so elated, you are so grateful, you are so thankful, you will always want to hear His loving voice. Did you hear it this morning? I hope it was not when you opened the Bible this morning for the first time at responsive reading. You should have heard His voice when you woke up this morning before you arrive into church. Because a child of God who has been delivered from the curse where he has nothing to fear anymore. He knows he will no longer die in sin and end up in hell. He now knows that when I die in Christ. And just as when Christ died, he was in paradise straight away, so will all of his disciples. We will die in Christ and we will be in paradise, which is another name for heaven. Instantaneously. Absent from the body, present with my Lord. Why would you who have this wonderful, wonderful experience in your heart not want to obey His word? Why did you want to disobey His word for another person which is not God, which is an idol therefore in your life? It could be your wife, it could be your husband, it could be your children. You don't disobey God's word for anybody else. Please, do not disobey the word of God. Always obey Him, love Him. And whenever you do, repent straight away and ask God to forgive you with all your heart and pray for strength never, never to disobey God's word again. Because the Bible says, everyone who is made a curse, he must hang on a tree. And that's why Christ died on the cross, according to God's prophecy. This is clearly taught in Deuteronomy 21. Verse 22 and 23. Very easy to remember. Deuteronomy 21, 22, 23. Okay? That's what it says. Deuteronomy 21, 22, 23. Alright, let me read that for you. Very simple. So Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary was exactly in fulfillment of God's teaching. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. You see? But he was not a sinner. He had committed no sin. But your sins and my sins were upon him. And that's why he was made a curse. Made a curse. God had no right to curse him because he was perfect. He was made a curse for you and for me. That's why the verb was very precise. Made a curse. And his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, and thy land shall not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And that's why the Lord had to be taken down of the cross and had to be buried on the same day. So that the curse of God upon the earth will stop with the burial of that sinner. It will not extend beyond what this person had already paid. He paid for it with his life. Capital punishment. But in the case of Christ, your sins and my sins was what he had to carry. And that's how he redeemed us from the curse. So the question is, have you and I been taken out of this curse? Are you out of the curse? Prove it. Prove it by a life of obedience to God's word. Baptism, first step. Sacrament, that's what the Lord taught us in the Great Commission. You have to be baptized, all of us. If you are truly born again, you must never be ashamed of Christ. You must never deny Him. Jesus says, if you deny me, I will deny you. A person who refuses to be baptized, especially when he is already an adult of age. It is his individual soul decision. He's no longer under the tutelage of his parent. And he deliberately, purposely do not want to be baptized. His salvation will be one big question mark. How do we know that? Because Jesus said so. You deny me, I will deny you. Why are you afraid to confess and tell the world that I am now a disciple of Christ and Jesus Christ is my Lord and is my Savior? Because that's what baptism means. A believer's baptism is an open declaration to everyone in the world that I am now a child of God and I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have denied myself and I have taken the cross and I am following Him. From now onwards, you're going to see Christ in my life. Everything I do, And every word that comes out of my mouth will be according to scriptures. That's what the baptism means. A very important part of every believer's life. And then the word of God is going to be his daily diet. That is a change. And that's why if you're out of the curse, then you will be into the blessing. That's verse 14a, right? That the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Christ. See, into the blessing. What blessing? The blessing of righteousness. You always do what is right. That's what verse 6 says. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's the blessing of Abraham. Accounted to us for righteousness because, like Abraham, who was accounted to God by righteousness simply because by believing in Christ. Before he was circumcised. Same for us. You will always do what is right according to the Bible. That's why you love to study Bible, the Word of God, so that you want to do what is right. Not whatever is right in your own eyes, but what is right according to the Bible, you love to do it. You can't help it. The Spirit of God will help you. You are now in the blessing. Out of the curse, into the blessing. So the question is, are you living a blessed life? Not measured in dollars and cents, because Jesus told us, stop measuring yourself by the abundance of what you possess. That's the old man, the old way of thinking. You measure yourself by who you are, by your house address. And you are very ashamed if your house is somewhere in a place that nobody wants to live in. I was told that some people do not like to work in some places of Singapore. They like to work inside central business district where everybody around there wears suit and tie. I don't think so, but just a figure of speech. I've not been there for a long time. The last time I was there, I told myself never to set foot there again because that place is like a different world. Different world. Never set foot there for more than 10, 15 years until I was told to go there and sign some legal document because of the church, I think. I got to go there and sign some document. And I got lost. I walk up and down, 1 whole hour along Robinson Road to find the lawyer's office. My problem was I forgot to pray. And so after 1 hour walking, my whole body soaking wet, I asked this person, that person, they point me here, point me there, but right, except for the right place. And then I stood there, I said, I'm going home already. I said, I just pray one last time. Just pray. And that's it. If I can't, I'm going to go home. I'm going to take the MRT. I'm going to go back. Then I prayed, opened my eyes, and right in front of me was the office. That's why I told myself, never set foot there again unless I've got no choice. A different world. Oh, many people love to work there. But if your firm and your company is in where to us, very near the causeway, nobody wants to go there. Nobody. Where do you work? Oh, yeah, somewhere in Tuas. Where people in Tuas, they all go to work in singlet and shorts and slippers. Again, figure of speech. Right? So all these things very important to the old man. Where do you live? Oh, King Albert Park. You see, my place has a king on it. King, right? Prince. All kinds of wonderful places. And of course, all those places are very, very expensive, I'm sure. You have to pay a king's ransom. They are not going to build HDB flat on King Albert Park. Are they? Anyone HDB? Are they going to plan to build some HDB flat in King Albert Park? All those in King Albert Park will kill you. Because you're going to bring down their property price, right? King Albert Park. They're not going to build HDB flat on King Albert Park. So you take pride in the fact that, well, I live in this place and that place. And how many bathrooms I have in my bungalow, my building, all these things so important to the old man. But Jesus says, now you are a child of God, a disciple of Christ. You have been taken out of the curse. The people under the curse will think that way. You are now into the blessing and therefore stop measuring yourself by the abundance of what you possess. I hope you have stopped doing that. Have you? Because if you are not stopped doing that, you are still under the curse because that's under the curse. That's what the people of the world are doing. You are now into the blessing of Abraham where all you want to do day in and day out is to do what is right according to the Bible. Right? Declare righteous. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted, it was declared, it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Is that not the blessing? That the blessing of Abraham might come to us, Gentiles, through Christ? That's the blessing, is it not? To stand before God righteous. Righteous inside, righteous in my mind, righteous in my heart, righteous in my being. Stand before God justified. No longer be afraid, cringing like a criminal. But standing before God in Christ, covered by the wonderful holy image of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? That's why we focus on know yourself this next 3 months. And like what Elder Chu said, when you do not know yourself, you won't live properly. But once you know who you are from God's perspective for us, hopefully you and I will change our way of life, because you and I are truly delivered out of the curse into the blessing. And therefore live a blessed life. Live a blessed life. Stop measuring yourself by the standards of the world, but measure yourself by the standard that God has given to us in the Bible, which are always eternal, which are always righteous. And you don't have to feel small in the eyes of the world, because you know who you are in Christ. That is your confidence. Not self-confidence. Self-confidence is deadly. But God-confidence. Because God-confidence equals faith. Self-confidence equals sin. Because without faith, all things are sinful. You know that, right? Anything that is not done in faith is sin. Where is that found? Book of Romans. You know that. Because you and I are out of the curse into the blessing. The blessing where we are now righteous, and therefore you will desire to do what is right. Do you? Do you desire to do what is right when you study, students? To always do what is above board, no cheating, no cutting corners, do everything that is moral, that is ethical. Same for all of us, you go to work. No cutting corners. Do everything according to the Bible. Be truthful. Be honest. Your word is as good as signing on the dotted line. Keep your word. Would you? Because there is no price tag that you must ever put on the image of Christ that you bear. You keep your word. Money to the Christian is the least important thing in his life. When once upon a time, before salvation, the most important. That's why Jesus taught us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that pertain to your physical well-being, you trust me. You just focus on all things spiritual. How to be a better Christian, how to be a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father, a better son, a better daughter, a better servant of God, a better witness for Christ. All these things you must now be fully occupied with. All these wonderful things that once upon a time they were meaningless. But now that's all that you care about. That should I and must I do this? Should I do that? All these things. Am I a better believer last week than what I am today? Am I a better husband to my wife yesterday and today? All these things must now occupy your mind. How to be a better husband? How to be a better wife? All these things are taught in the scriptures. And that's why you will spare no effort in studying God's word and making sure that you know as much of God's word as possible to ensure that all areas of your life bring glory and honor to Christ. That's what we are to do in blessing. Do all things righteous. In blessing. Not only in blessing, the Bible says in the last part of verse 14, out of the curse in verse 13, into the blessing in verse 14a, and into the promise as well. The blessing is right now. The promise is future and present. Into the promise. Because these are two purpose clauses. Verse 14a, that. Verse 14b, that as well. That's how we know. Two purpose clauses telling us the outcome. The outcome. So into the promise, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What is the promise of the Spirit? First and foremost, He will indwell you. And that's why this blessing, this ability and desire to do what is right is not from man. If you have no desire to do what is righteous and you try to fake it, you know you are a hypocrite. But if you're truly born again in Christ, the promise of the Spirit is the Spirit of God will dwell in you. You can't help yourself. This is the new person, the new man in Christ. You will want to do it because the Spirit of God will propel you, will compel you to do what is right. He will never give you peace in your heart as long as you do not do what is right, where in the past, when you do all the wrong things, your conscience will not prick you anymore. Because you just simply switch it off. Everybody is doing it. Use all kinds of silly logic to tell yourself, well, everybody takes bribes. Everybody give bribes. Everybody will lie here and there. Everybody will tell a white lie. So can I, and so on. But not when you are born again, when you are out of the curse and into the blessing and the promise where the Spirit of God will dwell in you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will convict you. And He will fill you to help you teach, understand, and preach God's word. That's how wonderful the Spirit of God is. And all these are done by simply through faith. Through Christ and through faith. All you needed to do was to believe from the very beginning and you'd be out of the curse, into the blessing, and into the promise. As simple as that. And that is what it means to be a Christian. And I hope that this is a description of all of us. All of us. I hope you have truly been taken out of the curse, and it is evidenced by your strong, unyielding desire to obey God's word, to do what is right according to the scriptures, no matter what. No matter what the consequence might be, you will always want to do what is right. Even if you have to lose your job, even if your children are angry with you, you've got to do what is right. Even if your parents are angry with you, you've got to do what is right. You've got to do what is right, because this is what a Christian would do with the Spirit of God teaching and telling him to do. You will not do what is wrong, no matter what the threat, no matter what the seduction is. You cannot be bribed. You cannot be threatened. If you have to go to prison, okay, I'll go to prison, but I will not disobey God's word. You want to take my life? Go ahead and take my life, but I will not disobey God's word. The Spirit of God will give you the strength to go through, no matter what. If I have to go to prison, if I have to live in the street, if I have to be a beggar because I want to believe in Christ, go for it. So be it. So be it. You must never, never disobey the word of God, because we have been delivered out of the curse. Remember how Christ redeemed us. He lived and He suffered and He died for us. And as a child of God, through Christ and through faith, Jesus says, would you now live and suffer and die for me? Just as I lived and suffered and died for you, would you do the same? The Spirit of God will help you, guide you, lead you, whisper peace to your heart, for you will never be alone again. I will always be there for you, to hold your hand, to help you. Whatever difficulties you're going through, you don't have to be afraid. You are in the promise. You are already in the blessing and been taken out of the curse. All because you have put your faith in Christ. That's all it takes. We are all in a curse. There is nothing you and I can do to get out of the curse, except Christ has done it all for you and for me. Please, check your salvation. Make sure that you are out of the curse. The clearest evidence is you are in the blessing where you always do what is righteous. You do what is right according to the Bible. And trust God to take care of the consequence. Don't use situational ethics, please. Don't say, I do this, this may happen. Or that may happen. Or that may not happen. You base your life on that kind of situational ethics, you are playing God. You will never do what is right all the time. Check your salvation, therefore. Because the person who is born again will always want to do what is right. Then what about the consequence? Trust God to take care of the consequence. Because God is never wrong. As long as you obey the Bible, you will never be wrong. Because God is perfect. And the Word of God is perfect. It will never, never shortchange you. You will never be ashamed if you obey God's word and trust in Him. You can lose everything because you have Christ who is everything. Don't make Him angry with you. Fear God. Fear Christ. See, in life, very often when we are forced to make a choice, a difficult, painful choice, it's either I make Christ angry with me or I make you angry with me. If you make me sin against God and disobey the Bible, I know Christ will be displeased with me. But if I obey Christ, I know you will be angry with me. So I got to make a choice. To whom do I want to be pleased with my life? To whom do I want say about me? Well done, good and faithful servant. You or Christ? That is the bottom line, is it not? If you have been delivered out of the curse through the blood of Christ, that choice is very simple and easy. I will never, never want my Lord to be angry with me, to be displeased with my life. He suffered so much for me. He gave everything up for me. And there is nothing I could give back to Him that could even come close to what the Son of God and the Son of Man had to go through in order to get me out of the curse. And therefore, I cannot afford to let Him look at me and be displeased with me because of you. I have to obey Him. And it will be for your good and for my good as well. It was for Abraham and Isaac's own good when God asked Abraham to offer Isaac. Same for us. There will be times when you and I will be in the Abraham-Isaac principle. When you have to choose, obey God or obey man. You have been taken out of the curse and into the blessing and the promise through Christ and through faith. Don't fail your Lord. Pass the test for Jesus' sake and for His glory. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of Thy holy and precious word. May Thy Holy Spirit speak to all of us and cause us, O Lord, to re-evaluate our own lives, our own confession, if we are truly born again, delivered out of the curse and into the blessing and the promise of the indwelling of the Spirit of God in us and the blessing of living a life of righteousness according to the Scriptures. O Lord, we thank Thee for this wonderful, wonderful evidence of one who is truly born again in Christ. For You know how much, as Gentiles, we need such evidence. And we thank Thee, Father, for each and every one of them to help us make sure of our salvation. For the worst thing that could ever happen to any one of us is to think that we are born again. And we will find out that we are truly not when we die in sin and end up in hell. O Lord, may Thou be merciful. That every worshipper whom You have brought into Thy house this morning may truly, truly be convicted and be converted, and to know that we have been delivered out of the curse and into Thy blessing and into the promise because of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives, whom we have simply believed by faith. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.